This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. Welcome to our first Mystery Monday. Something a little different. Add a new episode in that isn't just about true crime, that has more like mysteries to them. Things that interest me a lot that are more not so about like murder,
like,
and
spooky mystery.
Yeah, kind of spooky, kind of creepy, just different things that have just been a mystery and that we don't quite know the answers to. And the sleuths are going to be on and we're going to try to figure it out. This is going to be episode one of Mystery Monday, and I'm going to talk about the strange disappearance of Elisa Lamb.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
I don't think
you definitely will remember it. On January 28, 2013, 21-year-old Canadian college student Elisa Lamb checked into the Cecil Hotel in downtown Los Angeles.
I just didn't remember her name, but yeah.
Her stay was supposed to be for 3 nights. During her visit, she changed her room from a shared room to a single room.
Because she was acting,
yes,
kooky.
And they changed her into a room where she'd be by herself because they had some complaints. They don't know much about her visit. I know that she called her parents every day, and I'm sure they talked to her about it. But the last known sighting of her was that she visited a bookstore. And then on January 31st, the day that she was supposed to check out of the hotel, her parents didn't hear from her. They weren't happy about her going on the solo trip, but she was on a break from college. She attended in Vancouver, and she just wanted to go on this trip. And she was staying, this was the Cecil Hotel at this time, was like a hostel. And that's why I guess they had the shared rooms.
Edge of like homeless row or.
Yeah, Skid Row. Yeah. And so that's, they were worried. They called the hotel, and then that was on February 1st. The following day, her parents called, and they also called the police. And that's when they discovered it was the day she went to the bookstore and she came back. There was this strange footage of her in the hotel elevator. And we will get back to that footage of the elevator. But I want to tell you a little bit more about the history of Cecil Hotel.
Okay.
So first of all, when Elisa had vanished, First, when she had vanished, it wasn't even called the Cecil Hotel anymore. Even though it did have a sign on the outside that still said the Cecil Hotel, which it still does to this day, it was changed in 2011 to Stay on Main, to distance itself from its past, even though, like I said, the sign was up. The hotel opened in 1924 as a budget hotel. The 15-floor hotel had 700 guest rooms. And there has been at least 16 deaths associated with the hotel. Most were suicides, with the first one that happened on January 22nd, 1927, which is only just a few years after it opened. Uh-huh. It was when a 52-year-old man, Percy Cook, shot himself in his room at the hotel because he failed to reconcile with his wife and child. Many more suicides happened after that. In the 30s, 40s, 50s, and I will also mention that the hotel did open kind of at a bad time. It was right before the Great Depression, which could add something to do with the suicide.
Yeah, right. Suicide.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure that there were, but there's other violent, disturbing things that happened there. In 1964, a retired telemarketer named Pigeon Goldie Osgood, who was well-liked and a longtime resident of the hotel, was found dead in her room. She had been raped, stabbed, and beaten, and her room was ransacked. They had a suspect, they thought, but they were wrong, and it's still unsolved to this day. It became a place for adulterous couples, drug activity, and prostitution. Let me mention, like you just said, it is located right next to Skid Row in L.A. And if you've watched the movie Little Shop of Horrors, you get what I'm coming about down on Skid Row.
In the 1980s.
The hotel was a temporary residence for serial killer Richard Ramirez.
Thank you.
A.K.A. the Night Stalker. He was finally caught in 1985. And in 1989, he was convicted of 13 murders. So they think he lived there for a couple weeks, like while he was murdering people. Some of those people. In 1991, there was another serial killer. He was from Austria, I think it was. His name was Jack Unterweger.
I guess Unterweger?
Yeah, I could not pronounce that.
My name?
Yeah. While he was staying there, he at least strangled 3 women. I don't think it was at the hotel, but it was while he lived there. Yes. They were all said to be sex workers. He ended up getting caught and, you know, going back to Austria, I think, and getting charged with that. The hotel has been changed through the years from a budget hotel, an extended stay, like I said, a hostel. And then it closed in 2017 for renovations, and it reopened to what is now a low-income apartments.
I think that the whole change about is why Alyssa booked there, because it looked like a really nice hotel at a good price.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to update it, and I think online it looked like it didn't say, come stay with us for next to Skid Row.
It
was affordable. And
yeah, from Canada. From Canada, she didn't know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. And I think there was, even when this happened, because this, after 2017, they're saying it reopened as low-income apartments, but there was long-term people living there before that, because there was a man I saw interviewed that had been living there 30 years after she vanished.
Paid by the week.
Yeah. And I'm also pretty sure they say it's haunted. I would not be surprised about that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't get it.
I do. So I'm pretty sure that's true. It's a 4-part Netflix documentary on this exact case. And it was really good. And it talks about all the things about the history of the hotel. But I definitely think they pointed out some of the things that why they thought it was haunted. But I didn't go into that. So let's go back to the video of her in the elevator. Mm-hmm. All right. It went viral, which I'm
creepy.
Totally remember it. The police actually released it. And because at this time when they released it, she was missing. Okay. And they didn't have a clue. I mean, it was just like she disappeared without a trace. And
it's so weird because she was like, it looked like somebody was making the door open and close. And then she was like looking.
She was
looking to see if somebody's outside of the elevator.
Yes. And it looked like she was hiding from someone or she was scared.
Yeah.
And she was like pressing the buttons and she would look inside and outside. It was just creepy.
Damn. I mean,
and I think they released it because they were like thinking that maybe she was looking like running from someone or doing something. And they wanted to know if anybody had seen anything, because on the floor that she was staying on, the cameras were not working.
Of course.
Yeah. Just in the elevator. I was like, okay. So, you know, after her parents contacted the hotel, of course, the police started to search for her, and they looked everywhere and they were just clueless. They said all of her belongings were left in her room, like her laptop, everything like that. She was just gone. And it was kind of sad. Her parents didn't speak any English, but her sister, I think, could help translate that for them. But I can't imagine how hard that had to have been. They couldn't even communicate.
Because they had cameras in the lobby, right? And the lobby cameras didn't show her leaving the hotel at all. All they knew was she was in the elevator and then she was gone.
I don't think they said they had lobby cameras, but I'm sure maybe they just thought, you know, she walked back in because they knew she went to a bookstore. They had interviewed or talked to the people at the bookstore and they remember seeing her and things like that. There is so many conspiracies that I get into a little bit of them. There's just so many things that were kind of weird. Like the name of the bookstore was like the last stop or, it's something really weird.
Yeah.
But so a little over 2 weeks later, on February 19th, the hotel guest or long-term guest, whatever, started complaining about the water.
Ugh.
Yeah. They said that the water pressure was bad and it had a bad taste and smell. So the maintenance worker, he was sent up to the roof to check the water tanks. I think there was like 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And inside of one of them, he found Alyssa Lamb's body. She was naked, and they believed that she had drowned. They saw her clothes, like, floating, which they think could have been from, like, when you...
Like, she panicked or something?
Well, either you're trying to be lighter or, when you get hypothermia, who knows if it's cold, if it's hot. I don't know if you're in water constantly.
Hypothermia, thought she was hot and took her clothes off because...
Yeah. And, okay, they know that happens. They know they find her. Well, during the Netflix documentary, they talk about this, that when the maintenance worker went up there, he saw... The latch was open, and he went in, and he found her. Okay, well, I think he closed the latch. Someone closed the latch back at one time.
Yeah.
And so that's when the investigators or the police got there, and the latch was closed. That's when they were like, "What? How could she have closed the latch back?
Right.
If she went down in the water?" And I think that's where all the conspiracy theories, and that's where, you know, the mysteries where maybe it was someone had done this to her and things like that. Well, then, of course, when they start investigating, they realize that the maintenance worker, he tells them, he doesn't speak great English,
mm-hmm.
and he tells them it was open.
So you know that. And then they start looking into her life. And apparently she had, I think, bipolar 1 disorder and had some mental illness that her sister said when she wouldn't take her medicine, she would get very paranoid and scared and think people are after her.
Yeah.
But it was kind of interesting because they did find her medicine in her room, and in the toxicology report, they found, because they were like, well, maybe she wasn't taking her medicine. She had a psychosis moment or psychotic break, and that she was hiding from somebody, and that she went in the tank and thought she was hiding from somebody. And they were like, okay, I'm going to go on the roof. And it's just weird that she would have thought, I'm going to go on the roof and get in one of these water tanks. But they thought it made perfect sense that she would have hid in the water tank, and they ruled it, you know, an accidental drowning once they got her medical history, her background. But they did say that some of her medicine was in her body, but they couldn't do a full toxicology report because of, I guess, the...
Or they couldn't tell if it was enough.
Yeah,
because she hadn't, obviously, she'd not taken it for a couple of days when she was floating in the
water. Yeah, she was alive for a couple of days, you think?
No, I'm just saying, by the time they tested her blood.
Oh.
It'd been a couple of days that she hadn't, I mean, she was dead for 2 days, not taking it.
No, she was dead for 2 weeks in the
tank. Oh.
Well, it would still be in her blood, but everything just stops. It's not like her blood's going pumping through her heart and cleaning itself out. So, no, it would still be in your blood system. But they said, I think because of being in the water for 2 weeks, I don't think it was actually more like February 19th, and her parents called February 1st. So that was like 20 days. She's in the water. So because it fluid, I mean, they were tasting something and they were, I don't think they could get a total accurate, for some reason,
reading
of a toxicology report.
But there, I think,
if I took a pain pill 2 months ago, it wouldn't show up in my blood.
Well, because your heart is pumping through your blood. So, I mean, your body, that's different though. When you're dead, it doesn't, it just kind of like
just stays there.
Yeah.
I definitely think that. I don't think it doesn't like cleanse itself kind of thing. Or like when you drink alcohol, it runs through your body. But if you died, it just sits there. It doesn't like filter out, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not doctors and I don't know how to exactly explain it, but I do know that a toxicology report
consistently when she was alive.
That's what they think. And they said, you know, that she had times. I mean, think about it, she's by herself.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't, it's not, maybe she doesn't have anybody to make sure she's taking her medicine.
She's acting a little nutty when she was in the room with somebody else, right?
Yes.
And
she was acting paranoid at like someone was after in the elevator.
Yeah, that's what they...
The only thing is they thought the elevator footage was edited, which maybe they shortened it because maybe she stood there for a long time and they were just trying to put a little snippet of it out. But I think that they thought it was kind of strange how like the doors just stayed open. Do you remember that? It was... Well, she also... Maybe she was pushing the buttons and making the doors. You can make the doors stay open. But they made a comment about how when she closed the door, that the doors didn't close. I remember, I think it was in the documentary, they said that. They didn't talk about the doors and the things that I read. They just said it was strange and that she was...
It amazed me how many people were on there talking about that video.
Oh, my gosh. I remember
how many, you know, theories were out there and people who were timing it and all. I said, golly, y'all got one there with your hand.
Oh, there was so many conspiracy theorists, you know, people out there. And another thing that I think, I mean, they were saying, you know, that she was like, it was the hotel's haunted and that a spirit made her do that, or voices told her to go hide in the water tank. And I do think that some reason that she went and hid in the water tank and she couldn't get out. Yeah. I mean, that's what happened. I mean,
there's a ladder laying in the water tank.
No, I mean, it's not
a way to get back to the top.
You could get in, but I don't think you can get out.
And no one had water for so long.
Nobody's up there and nobody's going to hear you. I mean, the top was open.
Yeah.
But who's really going to be up there and hear you?
You a terrible way to die.
It's all.
If you're in there like treading water into it and just couldn't anymore.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, they're just all this conspiracy theories. They thought that, you know, the hotel was hiding evidence. They thought all these things. And I think people really still may think that. But at the end of that documentary, they sort of debunk everybody's things. There was like some, I don't really understand it, but...
Do you remember that in the documentary?
Yes. There was a connection that stood out. Lamb's name and supposed link with a tuberculosis test
her death's similarities to with a horror film, and the address she listed at the hotel, which takes Google Map searches to a Canadian cemetery. It was just, there was odd things. Yeah, and there was a guy like this, like the heavy metal singer, he had stayed at the hotel, but they thought that was like a year later, and everybody thought he did it.
Yeah.
And all these people,
mad for him.
Yeah, all these people on the internet were telling him he was a murderer and all that.
Ruined his life. Like, he wanted to kill himself.
Yes, he did. But he also had some pretty dark,
music
videos. Mask and all that weird stuff. And so,
yeah, I mean, I guess it didn't make you.
I thought that was weird. Am I thought to verify when
yeah,
it was there? Weird. That's when people just jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
All these internet sleuths, like they say, and all these conspiracy theories. And in the end, I definitely think she had a psychosis moment, psychotic break, whatever, and was paranoid and thought somebody was after her. And thought, this is where I can go and hide out, and got trapped there.
That's obviously what I believed in the whole thing.
I know, it's just sad, but it was definitely a creepy video. And
the whole story was creepy.
It is.
I was creeped out the whole time.
And it still is. I mean, even if that's a logical explanation of how it happened.
I mean, I still wouldn't stay there.
Well, not stay there because, I mean, it's not for everyone to stay.
But even if it was like a nice hotel, I probably wouldn't want to stay there.
But I guess it's kind of like, what do you do with it? Because it's right there in Skid Row, okay, Los Angeles. So they've got all these homeless people on Skid Row, and they're going to chance it to live in the Cecil Hotel just to not be living on the streets, I guess.
And for sure, I'd hit there before I hit Skid Row.
Yeah.
One more.
Yes.
That's my favorite movie, but anyway,
for a long time.
Anyway, last stop before Skid Row.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Let's see what we do.
The bookstore must have not been... What's the name of that bookstore?
I can Google it.
But it just was weird. And I guess I didn't write all that. I think it's called The Last Bookstore. Is that what I said?
Or The Last Stop.
Okay. It was called, let's see. Okay. Yeah. It was called The Last Bookstore. That was the name of the bookstore. And I guess that's why they thought it was weird, because it was one of the last places Alyssa Lamb was seen alive.
So like the last bookstore before you get to Skid Row?
Well, maybe. They're like, this is the last one you need to go to.
That's a pretty clever name.
Yes.
This is it.
And, I mean, they just thought all this. There was just so many, like, conspiracy theories that were just happened to all be coincidence. The address she put down, the being a cemetery.
I just think kind of an odd girl to begin with.
Well, I think so. I don't know. Poor thing.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that maybe she was just a little, you know, different.
Yeah. For sure. There's a book written about it, too. It's called Gone at Midnight. The Mysterious Death of Alyssa Lamb. I didn't know about that, but the Netflix documentary is pretty good. If you haven't seen it, you definitely should watch it.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I did too. It was just like really pulls you in, and a murder mystery kind of. Well, it's a mysterious death.
A mystery period. Like, I didn't even remember how it ended.
You didn't?
No, I mean, like, I remember how the documentary ended, but they knew that before the documentary came out. But I don't think I ever followed up on the girl's disappearance to even know how it worked out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't really know until I watched it.
They say in true crime, there's not any coincidences, but I guess there has to be.
I mean, who has heard really a crime?
Well, no.
Yeah.
They have said, you know, it's a true crime, or I've seen that true crime sleuth. So, you know, because they want it. They were saying that they kind of like people wanted it to be more to it than it was. But you know why? But this is what they said in an article, and I found this very telling, because the truth is just so sad.
It really is.
Yeah. And
but would it help be as sad if she was murdered?
It would be, but the fact that she, it would be, but that would, you would, could blame someone else. Like, this was just like this big mysterious death that everybody was looking for. Her poor parents that couldn't speak English. And then come to find out, you know, she had mental illness. And if she didn't take her medicine, she would get paranoid.
Yeah.
That was one of her side effects of not taking her medication.
The couple that was on the documentary, where were they from? They were from another country.
And they were talking about the water.
I'm going to tell you what, I think they're scarred for life. I wouldn't drink. I'd be afraid to get in the shower. I don't know that I can even use water in a faucet to like
after you got home.
Yeah. I'd be so freaked out that I was literally drinking water with a decomposing girl in it.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine?
No.
I could not
imagine. And they were just talking. I wouldn't even be able to talk. I can't.
Yeah, they were talking in the documentary.
They didn't even talk to you about it.
I know. And her parents,
they were like, it was brown. And could you just, I mean,
no.
Think about that for a minute. Like the hotel manager, I mean, I'm in property manager. Somebody called me and said, hey, her water's running brown out of the faucet. And I'm being like, okay. And then I send the maintenance person to go look at it. And there's literally a dead person infecting their water.
19 days.
It worked.
19 days.
I wouldn't be able to even tell them. Somebody else can tell them what's going on. I can't do it. I'm out.
Yeah, could you imagine
having to tell them? They knock on their door. And who knows if they like got any money from that or sued, because her parents actually did file a wrongful death suit against the hotel.
Because it wasn't locked.
They said, yeah, they tried to prove that door wasn't, the alarm would go off and alert the front desk, but that didn't always happen. They debunked that, but they said because no one was supposed to go up there. I don't even know if anybody's supposed to go on the 15th floor, but no one is supposed to go up there.
Oh, I do remember the whole hubbub about the exit door.
Yes. And so since no guests are allowed up there, mm-hmm. and that she went up there, they lost. They dropped. The wrongful death suit was dropped against the Cecil Hotel.
The guests that had that water issue, they wouldn't be able to sue for anything.
Why?
Because I don't know that a hotel could be liable for a nutty person going on the roof. You know what I mean? How would they?
I mean, it looked so cute. I'm on her pictures and stuff. It was just so sad. Just a young girl. But a lot of times that mental illness in their early 20s like that, that's when it hits some people.
Yeah, it really gets ramped up.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened. And I think, you know, being by herself, maybe it was like she wanted to do it and she was on break, but maybe it was just so much stress, you know, and if she wasn't taking her medicine properly.
Well, then she thought she was going to this, you know, going to L.A. to have this great thing. And she ended up in a Skid Row, crap hotel on Skid Row. She's probably like, it's too much.
Yes.
And probably didn't want to tell her parents, you know.
Because they didn't want her to go by herself.
You already begged and begged and begged to go. So she can't go on and go, I screwed up, you know.
No, it is really sad. Like that. Everybody wants to believe all these crazy conspiracy theories because it's...
That makes it more interesting.
That makes it more interesting, but it also makes it less sad, you know.
Yeah.
It was just, that footage was what really got me. Do you remember when they put that out?
What?
The footage to elevator.
Oh, yeah.
So
it was really creepy. Because when you just look at it with no sound and they don't like explain the time stuff. Mm-hmm. But it looks like it's just like the door is staying open.
And that's all they have.
Yeah. And her just
for 19 days of her medicine.
Like somebody's after her, you know, so you don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy to watch.
It was.
All right. So if you haven't watched it, and there's so many podcasts on it. And there's a cool Netflix documentary on it, very interesting.
We'll go watch it.
And thanks for listening to our first episode of Mystery
Monday.
I know, I try not to talk at the same time, but it's hard sometimes. We just get so excited that we both want to talk.
I know.
So sorry about that if we talk over each other. See you next time.